Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Robert Horry is going to join us to talk about the NBA starting up its season. Robert, I want to give you a pick your adventure. Your radio-friendly best story about Shaq or Jordan. You choose.
I did play with Jordan. He blew by me and dunked on me, but other than that, well, he technically didn't dunk on me because he just blew by me. He dunked on Otis Thorpe, who was back there waiting on him. So I just let him blow by me.
I took offense to that.
Oh, beautiful. MJ with the signature move. The tongue comes out. Otis Thorpe, get out of the way.
But I did play with Shaq, and so I'm going to say, I'll give you my Shaq story. I think, you know, we all know the story of Shaq running on the court with them with his sneakers and butt naked. It, you know, just to have a light in the mood. But, you know, AC gonna kill me because I never let him know this story. So Shaq had, you know, AC was talking about absence.
My promise to you is if you make the pledge to abstain from sex until you're married, you'll be making the absolute right choice.
You know, he has a little absence bear. He always sat it on top of his head and stuff like that. So Shaq took one of his bears and, of course, took all the stuffing out and kind of wore it somewhere. That's all I'm gonna say.
Shaq has it against Green. Powers to the hoop.
That is an excellent way to end our conversation, Robert Horry. Robert, you please.
It's G-rated.
No, you did it right.
Man, this was fun, guys. Please have me on again.
Shaq, man, you look good. You look good. Congratulations. Your knuckles look scraped. Did you walk here? Poor Shaq, he took me to see Siegfried and Roy last night. Halfway through, the white tiger started barking at him.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Hey, hey, and welcome into the show. It's Spiegel and Holmes. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We have got a lot of stuff to do today. We are going to turn the page at 3 o'clock unless we decide not to.
Bastards!
We are going to check in on a national sports show today. We're going to check in on one of those.
Yeah, just a couple of big baseball fans getting a chance to hang out together. I'm looking forward to that moment.
Patrick Manley is going to join us at 4 o'clock. Will Perdue is going to join us at 4:25 as the Bulls get ready to start their season. Mark Grody is going to join us at 5 o'clock, and there's all sorts of other stuff that will go on between now and 6. Chris Tannehill is here. Shane Reardon is here. Matt Spiegel is here.
An abstinence bear did not show up on the injury report today, and that's good. It sounded like he did after Shaq got through with him. Sure, that was a grisly injury report for the Los Angeles Lakers, but the Bears injury report is they're talking and practicing and giving us what they are legally obligated to do within the NFL is troubling because neither Kyler Gordon nor Jaquan Brisker practiced at all today.
Well, I'm more concerned, and we talked about this in our meeting today, I'm more concerned week to week about Kyler Gordon. And the reason is because how much he does for the Bears defense. I don't want to take away from Kwanee B, because Kwanee B is excellent at what he does. What he does, though, is easier to find. And I mean that relatively. Easier to find than what Kyler Gordon can do.
I agree. Kyler Gordon has proven himself to be such a good nickel that they don't dare move him away from that when there is an injury, as there was just a couple of weeks ago against Jacksonville. They'd rather bring in Jalen Jones to play corner, rather bring in Elijah Hicks to be the strong safety, and Josh Blackwell eventually came in to replace Kyler. But Kyler as a nickel, him making plays in the run game, the most frequent blitz choice of an aggressive and effective Matt Eberflus and Eric Washington combo, a massively important player. Because gone are the days of the base defense dominating. You look at Jack Sanborn's snap count.
Yeah.
It's almost always under 20, sometimes under 15 or even 10.
I think the league number on 11 personnel, meaning three wide receivers, is above 73%. So you're going to be it's weird like how the game has changed so much like just in the last 10 years where your base is your nickel. Like that's what teams are asking you to do.
Exactly.
The Jack Sanborn is now part of like your special package.
Right. Like, oh, maybe they'll go to base defense as a changeup. That kind of thing. Yeah. Looking at the snap counts, Jack Sanborn, 5%, 18%, 20%, 10%. Week four, he had only 6 snaps. For the Bears, because they're just not doing it. And then up to 25% and still only 10% after Kyler was hurt. Only 10% against the Jags. They'd rather play Blackwell at a nickel than they would Sanborn as your third backer for the most part.
But we only say that in comparison, not to say that Jaquan Brisker is not important, because he is. His physicality, the way that he plays the game, I think makes a difference. And the coaches think so too. This is Matt Eberflus talking about Kwanee B.
Injuries today, just a couple updates there. Will not practice today is Brisker.
It's been a while since Brisker's concussion, 16, 17 days. But do you have concern just on a human level? This is his third year with a concussion, and now it's taken a while.
Yeah, I always have concern with anybody that's in concussion. You know, so it's a big injury. It's something that you got to be very careful about. And our guys do a great job with those guys working through, you know, the protocol. That's why it's in place. And that's why the NFL has instituted that. So it's where it is right now. And we're hoping that he's getting better every single day.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, man, because we know how many concussions this has been for Jaquan, at least publicly. What is it? I think it's 4 publicly, but it might even be more than that.
It's just his style of play. It lends itself to it. He also got hit by what even the league thought was a dirty play. Helmet to helmet with the ball carrier dropping his helmet, and both of them ending up in concussion protocol because of it.
And if you're following stuff, like Malik Nabers was out for a long time on concussion protocol. And the way he talked about it when he came back for the Giants is scary. Obviously, the Dolphins still waiting on Tua. And even though Matt Eberflus had said on Monday that there were just like a couple steps to go through for Brisker as a 5-step protocol, and so he still had to go through 4 and 5, we don't know as of Wednesday where he is in terms of those steps.
Yeah,
and it's not linear. There might be 2 weeks before he's through any of those steps.
And I think there might be, because the players aren't really supposed to be at the facility during the bye week.
Mm.
So it might just be a matter of the training staff getting to start all of this on Monday to figure out where he's at. And maybe by Friday he's cleared and he goes to play. I do think Patrick Finley's question is a really important one. And it's important for all of us when we're consuming this. And it's what happens to these guys and how worried are you about the human being and not just the player.
Yeah, well, this is where I could share some stuff about the Commanders in terms of like why Kyler Gordon matters so much strategically. I could share some stuff about the Commanders' offense, what their tendencies are, what they've been doing and stuff like that, but I don't want to do that because we're not turning the page until the top of the hour.
Not until 3 o'clock, but I will let you hear from Dan Quinn, because I've got a sneak peek at the page.
Yeah.
And this is what Dan Quinn had to say about Brisker maybe not being available.
Jaquan Brisker, if he's available or unavailable, how much does that change the Chicago Bears defense from what you've seen?
He's a significant factor, and I can remember, you know, from him coming out of Penn State and just all the background and following him, and the safety position I think has a lot of value in today's NFL. Can you be in the post? Can you be in the box? Can you guard slots? And there's all different ways that it goes, you know, into the space. So I think it's turning into a really important position because of how guys are featured, and Brisker certainly has all the skills. He can play down, he can guard man-to-man, he's a good hitter. So yeah, a lot of respect for him.
See, now that's really good stuff. I'm glad we played that, because I mean, Brisker and the position gets denigrated a lot,
like running back.
Yeah,
it's the running back of the defense now.
But is that the free or the strong or both? Because what he's talking about is a lot of times the strong ends up being kind of that hybrid where it's a third linebacker or a fourth linebacker. Like the strong, it'd be the one that they move around and they use in all different ways, and that's Brisker. The free, like Byard, is the one who plays back and kind of hangs in the back for coverage more often than not in the modern NFL. Like Quinn's talking about the flexibility, that's more what Brisker does.
And it can change
it
from
Byard
down
does.
To down or situation to situation.
Sure, where it's a confusion creator, right?
That's the whole idea, is that you're supposed to. But yes, if I were looking at these two guys, I know that Byard can play the run. I know that Kwani B can play the pass. But if you look at what these guys have done throughout their career, Kwani B is a hammer. Like, he's the guy that's coming downhill in the run game and going after folks. Good blitzer as well, I think. He's the box safety. The old school, like, box safety.
Mm-hmm.
And you always wonder, like, what's the shelf life of those types of players, especially when they play. And I want to try to be as respectful as possible because I love the way that Jaquan Brisker plays. It just, it feels like it's going to lead to a shortened career because of the way that he plays, is ferocious, and I love it.
The inherent violence, and that way it is like a running back, right?
Yeah.
The collision position.
100%. And it, like we were saying at the beginning of this, it's easier to find a Brisker than it is to find a Gordon. As weird as that may sound.
Yeah. No, I think it's true. I think it's true because Gordon can do a lot of stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of meat on the Bears bone today. There's a lot of stuff that folks have said. There's some developments. We can look at the Commanders in detail. And we have the Bulls tonight after the NBA doubleheader last night.
There's also White Sox stuff.
Yeah,
that we need to get to, but we're not going to do that for a while. In fact, we're going to stay talking about the Bears because this weekend offers us a really interesting confluence of things where you have Caleb Williams playing against one of his coaches from last year who could have been his coach here.
Theoretically. I'm not buying that.
No?
No.
All right, well, then why don't we take a break and let's talk a little bit about it and hear what Caleb has to say about Cliff Kingsbury. That's next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Commendatore. Like a commander. I like that.
It's Bears Commanders Sunday, 325. Yeah. Why? Because flexing is a thing.
Flexed, baby. Bears have been flexed. That's how good this team is and how interesting they are thought to be on the national level. Let's go.
And maybe the other team too.
But yes. Yes. Does take two to tango.
You don't know that yet because we haven't.
I'm still unsure on who that team is, frankly.
You don't even know who.
I'm not aware.
You don't know their name.
I mean, the stuff that you guys have made me live through. There are promos running on the station of Marshall Harris breaking down the Commanders, and I'm still not allowed to turn the page. Bastards, it's almost over. Our nightmare's almost over. 12 minutes. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Then we can turn the page. Although, there actually is a lot of interesting connections between the Bears and the Commanders that if one were interested in the game, they would probably be paying attention to. Like, for example, that Cliff Kingsbury is in charge of the offense for Jaden Daniel and, mm-hmm. and the Commanders. They've done really well so far this year. And I know that you think Cliff Kingsbury and you think, oh, they're a throw-it-all-over-the-yard team. That has not been the case. Washington has been running the ball extremely well.
Yes, they have. They're dominant in the run game. Brian Robinson is seventh in the NFL. And, of course, Jaden Daniels is the second most prolific running quarterback in the NFL.
By the way, Jaden Daniels did not practice today, if you were curious. But Cliff Kingsbury is in charge of their offense. And he coached Caleb Williams at USC. There was some thought that maybe he would coach Caleb Williams with the Bears. Caleb talked about his relationship with his old OC.
Obviously, I've been around Cliff, great guy, great coach. If you go and ask all the guys over there at the Red or Commanders now, sorry, I've known him as the Redskins all my life growing up there. But the Commanders, you go over and ask all the players and. They say they love him probably because, he's a player's coach. And so knowing him, knowing how much he loves football and things like that, it just brings joy to his players and things like that. So, I've texted him back and forth every once in a while, great game, this and that. And he's done the same. So it's, been cool building that relationship with him in college and then, obviously, being a pro, about to go play against him.
What did you think when the Bears talked to him for their coordinator job?
Yeah, obviously, I was at that point, I guess, I think season was completely done, and we were a couple months into training. So talked to him and you know, kept in touch with him, you know, throughout that time. And he communicated with me that he was going here and to I guess, and deal with this the job offer. And so, you know, we kept in touch and didn't think much of it, because at that time I didn't know I was going to be a Bear for sure. And so just understood that it was an option for me, option for him, and, you know, happy for both of us.
What interactions did you have with him last season? I mean, what does a senior offensive analyst do with the quarterback of a college football team?
Yeah, some, like, I actually don't know. I know there's a bunch of rules in college. There was certain things he couldn't do, certain things he could do. But talking about football, talking about experiences that he's had as a head coach, offense coordinator, things like that, at the pro level is what I got from him. So many times talking about it, asking him questions, so he can give me great feedback on this next level that I knew that I was probably heading to at that time. And so that was big for me, being able to listen to him, and then obviously build a relationship with him, knowing the QBs he's been around, you know, and you know, similarities in some of the offenses that I've been in or offense that I was in college. And so, you know, it was great to, you know, have those moments with him. And I think it's helped me for, you know, these moments now.
His role is more preparing you for the NFL.
Yes, to help prepare me for the NFL. Yes.
So Cliff Kingsbury interviews with the Bears late January. I think it was the 23rd of January. Caleb drafted a couple of months later. Do you think it was a possibility that these guys were going to be together?
I thought it was possible. I also know that, you know, like, Cliff wants to find himself in the opportunity to be a head coach again. I do wonder if you're Matt Eberflus walking into year three and things having to go exceptionally well for you, if you want the specter of someone who's been an NFL head coach drawing up your offense and, you know, having sway with your quarterback. That seems like a power dynamic that a lot of people would be afraid of. I'm not saying that Matt Eberflus was, but there are a lot of petty people that would have been afraid of, oh, wait, the guy that prepped you for the pros,
yep,
is now standing on my sideline with you, getting you ready, and if this season goes poorly, they're not going to blame him.
Uh-huh.
They're not going to blame you. They're going to fire me.
I totally understand that concept. I've heard you mention it and bring it up, and I totally understand. And I don't know if Matt Eberflus thought that. I do know that Matt Eberflus got the head coach job in part because of his relationship with Ryan Poles. When they met years before, you remember Poles talking about this? When they met at a party. They share an agent, Trace Armstrong. Trace Correct. Armstrong is Poles and Eberflus's agent, both of them. Yes, the former Bear.
And it was David Haw who asked them the uncomfortable question at that opening press conference.
Uh-huh.
Which it was amazing.
Very, very good question by David Haw. Does anybody know who Shane Waldron's agent is?
That would be Trace Armstrong?
That would be Trace Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. So if Matt Eberflus has done a solid as part of the pipeline when Ryan Poles hires Matt Eberflus, does it stand to reason that it's potentially possible a couple years later when Matt Eberflus is looking for an offensive coordinator that he's got one or two of Trace Armstrong's clients on his list awfully high and might lean towards them as opposed to somebody like Cliff Kingsbury? Yes, that's possible. I'll go ahead and answer the question.
Okay.
Lincoln Riley, also a Trace Armstrong client. So there's a lot, man. Trace is...
He might be Trace Armstrong's favorite client. Have you ever looked up what Lincoln Riley's contract is?
Is he MVP at the bank?
Oh, he's...
I mean, I know you gave Chase Daniel that, or Hall of Fame at the bank.
Oh, Lincoln Riley is for sure a first ballot Hall of Famer at the bank.
You need to do that entire, like, the inaugural class of Lawrence Holmes Hall of Famers at the bank. I mean, Alex Rodriguez has got to be there. Did you see that Alex Rodriguez has $940 million just sitting in an account ready to transfer to Glenn Taylor as soon as the Timberwolves owner says, okay, fine. I saw that story this morning. And that's how much of that is just money he got from Tom Hicks and the Rangers?
$252 million, right?
Uh-huh. So
I'll just throw this out there.
Yeah, you just throwing it out there? What am I throwing? I'm just saying, if you call Trace Armstrong the shadow president of the Bears, you know.
Lincoln Riley's buyout is $88 million.
That's a lot.
Just so you know. Because, I mean, there are now a lot of people wondering what that buyout is because his team's 3-4 and he still hasn't figured out what defense is.
Yeah.
But he got access to a plane. They moved his family. They bought him a house along with giving him $110 million. They bought him a house in Southern California.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. To get him out of the Oklahoma gig. All right. Well, you can put that ballot together. Meanwhile, it's time to turn the page and look at the North. Right?
Yes, we are going to do that. So we are going to turn the page and get you ready for Bears versus Commandos. Plus, we are also going to look at this incredibly good NFC North. That is next. He will finally be happy. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.